Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. Our text for this morning comes from our gospel reading, especially these words. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, most of you are familiar with this account from our gospel reading, I assume. The story of doubting Thomas, who by the end of the reading we might wisely call believing Thomas. It is always the gospel reading for the Sunday after Easter. No matter which lectionary you're in or which year we're in of the three-year lectionary, this is always the reading. And it sort of makes sense, I suppose, because it describes events on the evening of the first Easter and then exactly 1 week later. It is a very rich text. It describes events such as Jesus telling his disciples, "Peace be with you." They shouldn't be afraid because peace has been made between God and mankind. We see Jesus breathing on the disciples and imparting to them the Holy Spirit, words that we hear at installations and ordinations of pastors. We see Jesus giving the disciples authority to retain or forgive sins, the office of the keys. We hear how Thomas's doubt is turned to faith when Jesus shows him his hands and his side. And yet we are told that we are more blessed than Thomas and all the other disciples because we are the ones who have not seen and yet have believed. There are dozens of sermons that could be preached on this text. This morning I'm only going to preach one, and I want to focus on what Thomas and the other disciples saw. Why is it important that the risen Lord show the disciples his body, and specifically the wounds in his hands and his side? What is Jesus teaching them and us by doing so? There are several lessons we could draw, of course. Perhaps the most obvious one is that Jesus really is alive. That is, after all, the point of this Easter season that we now enjoy. Jesus is the living God, and he is the God of the living. Death cannot hold him. His physical body is raised from the dead. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, John tells us in Revelation. And if he is the firstborn, that must mean there are others born. And indeed there are. You and I are among those born again. All those who go down to their graves, confessing Jesus as Lord, trusting him for the forgiveness of their sins, these too will rise from the dead. Death was not the end of Jesus, and it will not be the end of you. Eternal life is not life as a disembodied spirit floating about in the ether, but eternal life, your eternal life, consists of you in possession of both your soul and your body, a glorified body, one person. Jesus coming to his disciples in his body shows us this. Just as he was raised from the dead, so too will you and I be raised from the dead. But this wasn't just any body. It was a transformed body. You noticed, I'm sure, that the doors to the upper room where the disciples were hiding were locked. The disciples were, of course, afraid that what happened to Jesus might happen to them. The priests and the Sadducees assumed that someone must have stolen Jesus' body out of the grave, so, of course, they would be the most likely suspects. So they locked the doors. Doesn't matter to Jesus. He just appears in the midst of them. In his glorified body, all the divine power of God is there present and now on display. Before his death, in his state of humiliation, Jesus veiled some of that divine power, but no longer. And so Christ's body can be anywhere that he wills it to be. Descending into hell, proclaiming victory, on the road to Emmaus, in the middle of a locked room, on the beach, making breakfast for his disciples, ascending into heaven, and even, yes, even on this altar, in with and under the bread and the wine. As God is everywhere, so Christ with his body is everywhere and anywhere that he desires it to be. The body of Christ that appeared to the disciples in that locked upper room, the one who showed them his hands and side, is the same body that you receive in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of your sins. There's one more thing we need to say about this body. It is scarred. Now consider the scars of Christ's crucifixion, which are so prominently mentioned in our gospel reading this morning. Did you notice that John mentions the scars three times? The first is when Jesus appears to the 10 disciples on Easter evening. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The second time is when Thomas demands proof that he see Jesus before he will believe. He says, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." And the last time is when Jesus comes the second time and Thomas is present. He says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." The scars are important. In our day and age, scars are sometimes used to identify the dead when the deceased is known to have a particular scar that distinguishes them from other people. Or maybe you've had conversations with a veteran who has served in combat, or a police officer who's been on the force for a long time, or maybe even a firefighter, especially one that received any sort of injury or wound during their service. You're likely at some point to hear about how that injury, how it happened, what the circumstances were surrounding the event that caused it, what the result of that event was. The reason is that person bears in their very own flesh the evidence of what they went through, bears the physical scars of that experience. This happened to me when? This is to say nothing of the mental and emotional wounds that often accompany combat and other such forms of dangerous service. And with Jesus, there is something very important to the fact that even though he has this glorified, risen body, that the wounds of the crucifixion are still there. The battle scars are still visible. It's not that Jesus lost a battle on Good Friday and then won a battle on Easter Sunday. No, the fact that Jesus was crucified on the cross, sacrificed himself for your sin and for mine, that fact remains. The identifying marks of what he did are still present. The scars bear witness to the result of Jesus' encounter with death, namely that by it, your sin is forgiven. In the Easter account from Mark's Gospel, when the angels announce to the women that Jesus is risen from the dead, they say it in a slightly different way. They say it like this: "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the one having been crucified. He was raised." Note the way they describe Jesus. They don't describe his crucifixion as just a past tense event. He is the one having been crucified. Though now risen from the grave, alive forever, He remains the crucified one. Or consider Paul, who tells us in 1 Corinthians these famous Easter words, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." But he also tells the Corinthians, "We preach Christ crucified, and for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Or as we will read next week in our epistle reading from Revelation 5, John writes, "I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, and worthy is Christ, the lamb who was slain." Or finally, a famous hymn you probably know, "Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side, rich wounds, yet visible above, in beauty glorified." Of course, the resurrection of Jesus is of critical importance. It is the historical basis of our entire faith. In rising from the dead, Christ has defeated death, and that through his death, he has defeated sin. As we said last week, the resurrection proves that God the Father is wholly satisfied with his Son, and by virtue of your baptism and faith, that means he is wholly satisfied with you. And yet, Jesus bears the wounds. He is the crucified one. That's one reason why crucifixes are okay in a church, and not just empty crosses. Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Believe what? Believe that the same Jesus who was crucified is risen from the dead. Believe that by his wounds you are healed. Believe that your body, though now prone to sickness and disease, injury, and wounds, will one day be gloriously raised from the dead unto eternal life. Believe that you have a God that loves you so much, a God that desires you to be his child so much that he was willing to die for you. Believe and rejoice, O Christians, that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, amen.